Good morning, everybody, or evening, afternoon, late night, whenever it is that you are finding yourself listening to my dumbass, Seamus Harvey, once again on the Sacred Shame Show here on Anchor.fm or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever wonderful platform you find yourself listening to my sultry voice right now. Gonna be a little bit of a different show today. Kinda gonna get into a topic that probably doesn't seem like it fits here. Cause this is kind of a spiritual show, a magic show. Show about the nature of reality. If you're just tuning in today, what I just said is 100% how this show normally is. I am Seamus Harvey. I don't believe that you're real. I don't believe that I'm real. I don't believe that any of this is real. I believe that this is the distraction. This is the thing that we are unwinding to get back to the realization that we are all this cosmic energy field, that what we really are is these divine superpositions. A superposition is a term in physics for something that is in two different states at the same time. And that's what we are. We are both these mortals suffering through the day-to-day life here in this dimension. And we are also God. We are the divine creators of everything that ever has been, is now, will be, could have been, all of that. We are everything. And we are these mortals. We are these schmucks down here murdering each other in the third dimension. But at the same time, we are both of those things. Equally. So my topic today is about how there's no such thing as a good police officer. And that probably seems like a one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. But it's not. It's really not. Because there's not really any such thing is an irrelevant topic when you're talking about the nature of reality. So a concept that I believe fully in, that I trust fully in, is that there's a reason why life is difficult here. There's a reason why everything just doesn't come easy to you. Or really anyone. Even the people that it seems like it comes easy to, it doesn't. It doesn't. Even the most privileged people. Doesn't. That reason is because that's the choice that we're making. Because just like when you play a video game, you probably don't play it on easy mode. And just like if you've ever played a video game with cheat codes, that's fun for like a minute or two. And then it's just repetitive and boring and fucking terrible. But it's really, really hard not to lose sight of that when you're in the midst of terrible shit after terrible shit after terrible shit. Disease, pandemic, forced house arrests, murder of your neighbors, systemic murder of black men throughout this country at an unprecedented rate, and tons of misinformation, straight up lies, and lots of police officers using a protest, funny enough, about police brutality as an excuse to escalate police brutality. There's a protester shot in Austin by a beanbag. He wasn't even really a protester. He's a bystander. Brad Levi Ayala, 16-year-old in Austin, Texas, went down to see history being made. His fellow citizens standing up in the way that has been effective in civil rights violations and atrocities in the past. 16 years old. He was shot in the head with the less lethal round. Not less than lethal. Less lethal. Less likely to be lethal. Still potentially lethal. Stories are still conflicting. Was it a beanbag? Was it a rubber bullet? Was it both? It doesn't really matter, right? Cop shot a kid standing on a berm observing in the head. And it gets worse. Other people that were watching the incident happen immediately rushed forward to pick him up and take him to safety, to get him help. And the police fired upon those giving aid. Now in a war zone, firing upon medical personnel as they're trying to tend to combatants, or non-combatants, but medical personnel tending to wounded in the field, firing upon them is a war crime. It's what Chelsea Manning went to prison for disclosing that war crime. Because it's a fucking crime. But our hyper-militarized police seem to now think that it's actually just standard operating procedure. I actually thought that kid died, because there's a lot of news coming out that he was dead, but fortunately he's not. But he's not going to have a good time recovering. Here in New Orleans, the police fired tear gas grenades into a peaceful protest that wasn't doing anything other than marching. I was in the army. I actually did chemical warfare reconnaissance. I ran a gas chamber for the military. And the use of tear gas on the battlefield, it's also a war crime. You can't do it in the heat of battle with your enemy. But it's okay to do it to the civilian population that you're sworn to protect? Where does this disconnect come from? We've gone down this very dangerous path, and everybody's guilty of it. There is a function of your mind. It's called chunking. It's where your brain tries to establish a pattern of repeated behaviors, things that it sees, and it stops identifying them as separate actions. And it starts identifying them as a chain of events. Now, in something like playing chess,
It's a very useful skill. Hey, this move means that these three moves are going to follow it. But when you start grouping people who we literally call individuals, when you start grouping individuals together and you stop thinking them to be humans, you start thinking them to be perpetrators, agitators, aggressors. Well, then you don't have to be bothered with that pesky humanity. And if they're not human, why do you need to be humane? There's this famous saying in poker that the man who created poker was smart. But the man who created the poker chip was a fucking genius. Now why? Why is that? It's because if you're sitting at a poker table and you look in front of you and there's a big ass pile of cash, well, you start thinking about it as being a big ass pile of cash. So you treat it differently. You play differently. You're more conservative because you don't want to hurt that big ass pile of cash. But when you look down and it's just a bunch of plastic chips, well, who gives a fuck about a bunch of plastic chips, even if you can redeem them for cash? Psychologically, we just think different when we can put that proxy there. And we just have a fucking epidemic of people in this country lumping individuals together and labeling them all the same. So yeah, what does the you're not real spiritual cosmic superposition reality isn't real guy, what the fuck does he have to say about police being terrible and just a bad idea across the board? Well, a lot. Surprisingly a lot. So here's my hypothesis. There is no such thing as a good police officer. None. There's no such thing as a good police officer. And that's gonna boil the blood of a lot of people. But I am willing to back my opinion up with reasoning, if you're willing to listen to me. I think I make a fairly cogent case. Maybe not, up to you. Most people probably just wiped my opinion off as valid as soon as they heard me talking about people being divine energy and cosmic superposition. So those people probably already checked out. But for any of you left around listening and want to hear me talk about why there's no such thing as a good police officer, no such thing as good police, stick around. I'm going to go to commercial break right now. And then I'm going to come back, and it's probably going to end up being my longest episode ever. But I'm going to give it the old college try as to why there are no good police. This is The Sacred Shame. I am Seamus Harvey. Be right back. Hey everyone, Seamus Harvey here. Super excited to talk about my new sponsor, Ama Healing, amahealing.co. They are manufacturers and purveyors of fine hemp extracts, CBD products, phytocannabinoids, all of the good health things to get your body in the best shape possible from a mentality and focus standpoint. And I use these fuckers every day. Literally, their CBD extract and their Elevate Elixir, I credit with basically keeping me alive. If you're a listener to the show, you'll know that I've been dealing with cancer for the last 6 months or so, and just from the cancer and the inflammation and the treatment for the cancer, I feel foggy in the brain a lot of the time, and the products from AmaHealing.co, specifically the CBD oil, hemp extract, and the Elevate Elixir, are really doing so much to keep me from being foggy and just feeling like blah. And the team is amazing. Matt, Ted, all the guys and gals and peoples at AmaHealing.co. Love you guys so much. Go to AmaHealing, AmaHealing.co. Use the code BUCKCANCER and maybe get a little discount from your boy Seamus Harvey. Again, that's AmaHealing, AmaHealing.co. I am Seamus Harvey. And we're back here on Sacred Shame with me, your intrepid space traveling host, Seamus Harvey. Just a few bad apples. Just a couple of them. Well, we can start right there. That's actually only the first half of that platitude. Do you know what the other half of that platitude is? It's that a few bad apples spoil the bunch, ruin everything. And that's fucking true. If you've ever had one apple start going bad in a bowl of fruit, that whole bowl's fucked. If that rotten fucking apple isn't pulled out very quickly, all that fruit's gone. And so that principle definitely holds true as well with police officers. And the problem is the very nature of policing ensures that there will always be bad apples. Always. For a bunch of different reasons. I'll just try to start listing them off here, and hopefully I don't go too far off the rails. So let's talk about reasons why you would want to become a police officer. So the reasons that you would tell people why you want to become a police officer is that you want to protect and serve. You want to keep your neighborhood safe. But if you review the psychological profiles of most police officers, even in anonymized studies, what you find is you're actually looking at a bunch of people that are really drastically motivated by power, motivated by the concept of authority. And like the one bad apple spoils a bunch, there's a platitude for power as well, which is that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, if you combine those two platitudes together, you get a job that inherently attracts people that are obsessed with the concept of power and authority, of getting to boss other people around for whatever reason. Fetishization. Man, as a fetishist, me not being able to pronounce that's pretty funny, but fetishization of power, definitely up there. Yeah, maybe they were picked on as a kid, bullied as a child, held that back, and they all show you one day. Yeah, you definitely have a lot of that going on. And even the police officers that join the police force with the best of intentions, that elixir of power, of being able to have control in most situations because they wear a costume and have a shiny little badge. It's intoxicating. It's very, very intoxicating. So let's talk about something called the Stanford Prison Experiment. It took place at Stanford University in 1971. And it was conducted to test the psychological profiles of prisoners and prison guards by recreating a prison setting. So all of the participants in this study were white, working class males, because that was the standard for psychological experiments at the time. But they weren't a diverse group of different sexes. They weren't a diverse group of different races. They were all white working men who answered an ad in the newspaper for Stanford. So by all accounts, that racist assholes would tell you none of them should have had a predisposition for being thugs or power hungry or any of that. Just white working class dudes. And so by a coin flip, half of the cohort were assigned to be prisoners and half of the cohort were assigned to be guards. The experiment was supposed to last 2 weeks and it was ended on day six, because by day six, the half of the cohort that had taken on the role of guard had taken to psychologically torturing the prisoner half of the cohort. Now, what the fuck? They knew it was an experiment. They knew they weren't really guards. These weren't really prisoners. And yet, that's what we got. Because there is power in your thought. There is power in taking on a role. And just by putting yourself in the mental position of someone in power, in authority, your actions start gravitating towards abuse of that power. That's a pretty controlled sample group there. Yeah, it's small. For sure. But it's pretty telling. Just where the human psyche goes when placed into these imaginary roles. So if by random circumstance, half of the participants, 24 participants in this study, became authoritative guards by chance, by the flip of a coin. If half of a random sampling of just people became authoritative guards, because that was the role that was assigned to them, and would start instigating abuse, degrading behavior towards the prisoners who aren't prisoners, people. These are other participants in the study that everybody's aware of. They're in the study. But almost immediately, they began dehumanizing behavior of the people that had been assigned the role of prisoner. And then by day six, we're at sustained psychological torture. If that happens in a controlled experiment of a random sampling of the population, what would you conclude would happen if it's not random? What would you conclude would happen if people are given the choice to volunteer to apply to be these authoritative guards, which are what our police officers are? They are guarding our population. Probably fair to say that you're going to get a higher sampling of people that are prone to the abuse of that power. If a random sample will turn that way very quickly, by chance, people that are getting the opportunity to volunteer for it, you're going to almost assuredly end up with a higher percentage of people that are going to be drawn to the concept of power, the concept of being able to control others and enforce their will arbitrarily on people because they think that they can. And because our society says that that's okay. So there's that. There's that police at the start, there's going to be a higher number of them that are going to want to abuse their power because they're there for the power. They're there for the power trip. And I don't care who you are and what part of the country you're in and what socioeconomic status you're in. You have witnessed police officers abusing their power. I know you have. Everybody has. I'm white. Fairly well off. And I have witnessed the abuse of police power against my friends, who are also white and well off. I had a good friend of the family that was my sister's best friend in high school, who ended up marrying a Marine who became a police officer after he got out of the service. And he became an abusive husband physically, piece of shit. And when she left him, he had his buddies in the sheriff's office follow her around, harass people she was dating, lied to her cell phone company that he had a warrant to view her cell phone records. He stalked her. And because he was a police officer, he got away with that. Now that's a white woman from a middle class family. That doesn't bring any of the bullshit prejudice that people of color have to deal with in this country.
If a random sampling of 24 white males, working class, from the general Stanford area, who randomly responded to a newspaper ad and then were randomly grouped into guards or prisoners by a coin flip. If by day six and that random assignment, they're mentally torturing each other in a randomized study,
why would you think that there wouldn't be gross abuse of people who are allowed to volunteer for these power trip positions and then get to exercise it against a portion of the population that has all of these preconceived prejudices against them historically, hundreds of years? How could that ever work? How could that ever not be abused? But they're not all bad, right? They're not all bad. There are good people that are cops. Yes, I'll give you that. There are absolutely good people that become police officers. But when they put the uniform on, is when they stop being good. And I know that's hard to get. And I know that there's a lot of argument from that, because probably some of you have family members or friends or people that you went to college with that have joined the police force. And that doesn't make them a bad person. Because that's an important thing to remember, is that none of us are one thing, ever. We are these infinitely variable creatures that are capable of all these different things. But when he or she or they put that uniform on, they are assuming a role. And that role in our society is inherently an evil one, because that role comes with this preconception of holding power over the rest of the population. And that's bad for the whole population. But that is especially bad for historically disadvantaged portions of the population who already don't have the same measures of protection that the rest of us do. That is a massive recipe for abuse. And so when these good people, and there are definitely people that join the police force because they want to do good. And what I propose to you here is that that's the tragedy. That's one of the worst parts of this, is the lie of policing being this good, necessary part of our community traps people that could otherwise be these wonderful, good, productive, helpful members of society, and it puts them into an inherently thuggish, abusive organization where they are the minority against a group of people that would choose to protect their fellow police officers, would choose to protect their cohort over holding up any sort of moral or legal code of ethics. See, on day 6 of the Stanford prison experiment, outside observers, the person running the experiment could go, "Wow, this is fucked up. We're going to stop this right here." But nobody lost their job. Nobody was out of their career on day 6. All of those volunteers just went back to whatever the fuck they were doing before they volunteered. There wasn't this baggage. So I am already way over my normal episode time, but I've got at least this much more to go. So I'm going to break this, go into another episode. I hope I have kept your interest enough, because this is important. I know I just use the word evil and I use the word good. And those things, they're not real concepts. There is no good. There is no evil. Because nothing is absolute. But there is better. And there is moving towards better. And there is suited for purpose and not suited for purpose. And if the purpose of this society, of this civilization, of this community, is to live in peace and harmony, where everyone is equal, is treated equal, where we live not in fear, where we become productive, and we aren't in this coercive, fearful environment, well, these actions, they're not moving towards better. I am Seamus Harvey. Catch you very soon again to keep talking about there's no such thing as a good police here on Sacred Shame.